Hello, welcome to Harvard Kennedy School's Belfer Center Defense and Intelligence Podcast. I'm Project Director Kevin Ryan. This is Wednesday, March 13th, 2013, and our guest is Vivek Mohan, whose research is on cyber issues, bridging the gaps between national security and law enforcement. Vivek is a fellow in the Science, Information, and Communication Technology and Public Policy Project at Kennedy School's Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs. His research and writing focuses on cybersecurity, privacy, and internet governance. He received his Juris Doctor from Columbia Law School. Welcome, Vivek.
Thank you, Kevin.
So, in all the papers and on TV today, we're hearing tons of stuff about cybersecurity, cyber offense, cyber defense. But you're looking at something which I thought was going on very well. I figured we'd be between law enforcement and national security leadership, we'd be hand in glove working on this. But you see gaps there. Tell us about this.
I think that there's, two different ways to look at it. First, the public perception, which I think kind of views cybersecurity as a monolithic issue. And then the people that are kind of working in the field that kind of understand that there are somewhat siloed areas in cybersecurity. There's cyber espionage, there is industrial control system protection or critical infrastructure protection, there's cyber crime, and there's just many different ways of slicing all these different things. There's people who would say that Stuxnet or nation-state attacks or purportedly nation-state attacks would be also classified differently. And there's a lot of different ways of kind of slicing. And I think that within the community, it's important to engage all the different actors, and especially when you're talking about some of the issues that are not that don't really fit into those particular silos, which I would classify as kind of the law enforcement issues, the surveillance issues, laws such as the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, which are quite dated but play a very important role in intelligence gathering domestically. And I think that the people who are talking about, for example, ECPA or the Electronic Communications Privacy Act from the private sector or representing civil liberties don't really think about the implications that ECPA and related statutes and surveillance statutes have for intelligence gathering writ large and the implications that it has on national security. Most of the time, those people are worried about personal freedoms and civil liberties, but aren't really thinking about the national security implications and vice versa. So I think it's important to kind of engage the national security community, which thinks about things like the power grid and protecting industrial control systems, with the people that are worried about civil liberties, because I really think at the end of the day, while these issues are somewhat siloed, if you're going to, as one of my professors from Columbia, Philip Babbitt, says, integrate law and strategy, you really have to think about this holistically.
So something, though, that seems to be implied in your research is that there is an overlap here of international efforts and national or domestic efforts. You know, when in the old days, I'll say as my kids do, back in the 1900s, when the United States had an attack or defense abroad, that was clearly something that was international. But today, it seems like people sitting in their living room with their computer on are on the front lines interacting with people all over the world, whether it's games or just through software and work. How is this all happening, and how can we continue legally to do right and protect people in their living rooms when they're actually working in an international environment?
I think that one of the biggest questions is being grappled with, and you know, you can say with arguable degrees of success, which is law, especially from the legal perspective, law is an inherently jurisdictional exercise. You know, I am barred in the state of New York. I can't even practice law here in Massachusetts. Our federal laws obviously at some point stop at our borders. We talk about the long arm of the law, but if every country has a long arm of the law, there is a conflicting system. And international law, and some people are not going to particularly like this, but has not had, at least in the cyber context, as much efficacy as we'd hope for in terms of treaties. The Budapest Convention on Cybercrime, I think, is fairly widely regarded as not the most effective of treaties. And I think that the difficulties of dealing with cyber issues, I think that we are looking to try and deal with them through diplomacy and not law. And I think that that might be, in the long run, I think that we need to integrate law into that. We need to integrate law that deals with different social norms in each country. In certain countries there's more freedom of speech, and there's certain countries there's less. And I think we have to accept that those are reflective of different societal norms, and find a way to integrate our legal systems in a way that is cohesive and kind of reflects the actual interdisciplinary geopolitical nature and worldwide nature of cyberspace.
So are there structures and architectures out there that are already forming up to give us the framework to have these laws and to make treaties, I guess? I don't know. Are there treaties and so on?
I think that, a lot of how this is being done. Yeah. So, for example, the Budapest Convention on Cybercrime is one of the kind of seminal treaties and kind of cyberspace and dealing with these issues. I think that there's a lot of kind of discord from, I think that, for example, I think the Chinese really believe that before we can talk about these substantive issues, we really need to talk about internet governance. We need to talk about ICANN, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, which is a nonprofit based in California that has, I guess, what you call a dotted line reporting to the Department of Commerce. And kind of basically is responsible for assigning domain names and the responsibility for creating and assigning domain names and the responsibility for the domain name system, or DNS. And I think that many other countries view this as kind of a puppet of the U.S. government and say, well, if we're going to talk about substantive cyber issues, first we've got to say that you've got to acknowledge that the internet is inherently an international entity. It is something that should be managed internationally. And you can see in December 2012, that was kind of one of the major pushes at the WICIT, which is the World Conference on International Telecommunications, hosted by the ITU, a body of the UN. And I think that before we can really get to developing robust cybersecurity or in-depth and robust cybersecurity governance at the international level, we really have to deal with kind of the threshold question of how do we talk about internet governance? And then we can delve deeper into the issues of security.
Wow. Well, Vivek, if people wanted to know more about this subject, where would they go? How would they?
There's a lot of great sources. I think that you should, first place to check out is the Belfer Center's Exploration in Cyber International Relations page. Also, feel free to reach out to me anytime. My name is Vivek Mohan. My email address is on the website. And there's a lot of great resources. One thing I'd particularly recommend is the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University has a cyber wiki, which is a collection of all kind of the sources that a number of experts in the field have put together.
Well, thank you very much, Vivek Mohan, for being with us today. This podcast has been brought to you by the Defense and Intelligence Project at Harvard Kennedy School's Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs. I'm Kevin Ryan, and you can find this podcast and more by visiting our website at belfercenter.ksg.harvard.edu.